Band of Brothers Hotline. I'm bringing in our special guest for the 6 o'clock segment, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL. Jeremiah, how you living?
I'm good. You guys doing well?
We are doing fantastic. We have been talking top 5 all-time offensive and defensive players during the Bronco Mendenhall era. That means 05 to present day. Are you ready to give us your list? I didn't tell you this, that we were going to talk about this. So you got to think.
Prep.
Yeah.
No, just no right prep. There. No right. Warm-up. Go.
No warm-up. Yeah, you gotta off the top. No, if you want, you can give me like your top two.
No, top five.
Okay, top five. Both. All right, top five.
Jeremiah Jensen is a professional.
He is a professional.
A skilled television journalist.
Let's start defense because everybody likes to talk offense first. Like touchdowns actually win football games. I've never heard that. I've heard defense wins championships. Talk defense. Top five defensive players of the Bronco Mendenhall era.
Ooh, okay, here we go. Cal Van Noy.
Okay.
Brian Keel.
Okay.
Check.
David Nixon.
Oh!
David Nixon getting into the
name.
Top five.
I like David Nixon.
You know where David Nixon shows up on the all-time tackles leader board?
Where is he?
Top 20. He's number 20.
He's
all-time.
Good, good player.
Okay. I got to go with the general, Cam Jensen.
Boom.
And I got one more player. How about Daniel Sorensen? I know I'm missing somebody. I didn't even mention Ziggy, but he only did it for a year, so I got to mention the other guy.
And we're talking about production here. I mean, because if you say best player, you might say Ezekiel Ansah because he's a first round draft pick, fifth overall. You might say Kyle Van Noy as the best ever, but we're talking about overall production.
Man, you look at that era with Cam Jensen, David Nixon, Brian Keel, the linebackers that they were churning out at that time. And honestly, they continue to turn out great linebackers. So that's kind of – I remember that era and how good those defenses were. That's really where that culture started with Bronco. Those are the first names that really come to mind. And I'm sure I missed some guys there. But off the top of my head, without any prep, that's the five I came up with.
No one's giving any love to my boy Jan Jorgensen. No one's giving
him
any
love. Exactly. He's right there. The Mountain West sack leader. I mean, it's tough. I just thought of the linebackers first, but – Jan's right there. In fact, you can make a good argument. He's top five.
All right, let's talk offense.
Okay.
Top five.
Bronco Mendenhall era. Harvey Unga, all-time leading rusher. Austin Colley. Dennis Pitta. Which quarterback am I going to pick and leave out? I guess you got to put Max Hall on that list. And then, I want to go John Beck. He kind of split both eras.
Mm-hmm.
Do I go with John? Is there somebody I'm missing?
Cody Hoffman.
Hoffman, yeah.
What about the offensive line? You're not giving the offensive line any love?
Well, where's the NFL guys in the offensive line?
Exactly. Curtis Brown would be the other guy you'd consider, in my opinion.
Yeah, another guy kind of split between Croton and Bronco. But I'd have to go Cody because he is the all-time leading receiver over John there. But that's tough to do, guys. That is really tough to do. There's been some great players.
What about do you think that Taysom Hill or Jamal Williams will leap over some of these guys after this year?
Good question. I mean, Taysom's tough to judge, right, guys? Because he had an exceptional talent, but look how much time he's missed. Because of injury. And that's unfortunate. But right now, I can't put him in that top five despite what he's done because I think what the other guys did over the span of their career is probably more impressive as far as if you take the whole thing. But if he has an incredible year this year and stays healthy and doing Taysom things that Taysom's done in the past, then you could probably put him in that category by the end. And the same with Jamal. Will Jamal pass Harvey and become the all-time leading rusher? I thought it was for sure last year, but now it's not a certainty, so we'll have to wait and see. But, of course, if Jamal becomes the all-time leading rusher, when you consider what he's been able to do at BYU, despite the injury he suffered last year, which was catastrophic, by the way, you'd have to put him in there as well.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Brandon gave us his top five. I've given my top five. I think it's a good discussion in the offseason.
What Criddle's doing here is he's asking everybody, just by chance, someone's going to mention Criddle.
I'm hoping. I'm edging up.
How about this?
I'm actually, on the list that I made, I'm edging into the top 200. I don't know if you know this, Jeremiah, but I actually was voted by my teammates as walk-on of the year. That's right.
Hey,
the WOOY award.
And if we're having a conversation about top five walk-ons at BYU all time, Ben, you're in my list. You are top five.
That's right. Well, in true walk-ons, we can't do this preferred walk-on list.
Right, exactly.
There's a difference. So we can have top five preferred walk-ons of all time, because that'd be like
greatest guys, of all time.
That would be like Dennis Pitta, Chad Lewis, you know, guys
that.
And then
I agree.
You know, you could put Scotty J in there. You could put Andrew Rich into that category. But true walk-ons, first day, you know, has to try out with everybody else.
Ziggy Ansah.
Guys who Blanco doesn't even know their names still to this day.
Yeah, because
you know, there are a lot of those guys.
Ziggy wasn't a preferred walk-on, was he? He was
a
true walk-on.
No, he was not.
No, there's nothing preferred about Ziggy. Sorry, Criddle. Ziggy's got
you. He just knocked me out. He just knocked me out.
Ziggy's number one. Sorry. You did not get picked in the top five of the NFL draft, so you're going to have to give that up to Ziggy.
Dang it. But I have my own radio show. Does that count for anything?
Oh, well, that's you're number two. You lost.
Okay, sweet.
No one else tops you there.
Tell us what else you've been working on. I saw that that feature you guys did for Gavin Baxter. I really like this pickup. We interviewed him on our airwaves. You got your hand on the pulse of high school sports, Jeremiah. Is this an awesome pickup for the Cougs?
I love it. He's a perfect fit. He's going to be a terrific stretch four for them. He's a kid with tremendous athleticism, elite athleticism. Since he's a sophomore, he's been jumping out of the gym with rim-rocking dunks. But what a lot of people don't know about Gavin, he's got range. He can shoot the three-point shot. And so you're bringing a guy onto this roster, you know, once he gets home from a mission, that can not only jump and rebound and play at the rim, he can also go outside and knock down three-point shots. So it's a really great fit for BYU. And for them to get a guy that's ranked in the top 100 on scout.com and a guy that probably just right on the outside looking into that ESPN top 100 list, that's a great get for BYU, because he was getting a lot of looks around the country, and I think after his senior year he would have got even more, because he's going to be tremendous next year.
We talked about the strength of schedule with Jordan Pendleton, Independence versus Mountain West Conference, the Stuart Mandel article. Always in the offseason we bring this kind of stuff up. And Stuart Mandel said something, in my opinion, he used an erroneous lexicon. I think it was ill-advised. He said that the expedition to independence and in their current state, BYU, in this ever-changing college football landscape, the trip to independence has largely backfired. Would you agree or disagree?
Disagree. And I'll bring this point up. Okay, let's say that BYU stayed in the Mountain West back in 2010. Okay, no ESPN contract. The schedule wouldn't be as good as it is right now. They would still be stuck in a Mountain West deal where they have no more say in what happens in the conference and the other teams in the conference. They'd be stuck with the same problems that they had before. And they'd have one-fifth the TV revenue that they currently enjoy. So to say that they, by going independent, that they lost in the whole deal, had they stayed in the Mountain West, then they would certainly be losers. This is the best thing they could have done, and it was the right thing to do at the time. So to go back and play revisionist history because they're not in the Power 5 conference yet, that was the right decision to do. So in that sense, they were winners, because it could have been a lot worse, right? I mean, in that same article, I read the article you're talking about. Those teams that got left out, that are still stuck in the American, UConn and Cincinnati, those teams were losers because they didn't get out of it. They're not in a better situation. I think BYU is in a better situation than they were 5 years ago. So how could you say they're a loser?
Gurney. Gurney covers a lot of high school sports, especially basketball, football, and we've been talking recruiting lately. We had Coach Wells on yesterday on our show. He stated that the 2016-2017 classes for the state of Utah, it's possible that Utah State and BYU don't have to look outside of the state. Do you believe that?
Yes. The talent here is great. It really is. And I watch high school football every Saturday night, or every Friday night, and I watch highlights of all these kids, and the level of play is terrific. And you start to see the attention that a lot of these kids are getting, and they're getting invited to camps all over the country, and they're getting recruited by teams all over the country. And by doing so, other kids on their teams are getting exposure that weren't getting exposure. So you're now seeing 35 kids to 40 kids every year getting D1 scholarship offers. That's a huge number. And it's growing. It's only going to get better because the quality of coaching and the support and all the things that go into making players great is so much better now than it was even 10 years ago here. So the quality of high school football in the state is getting better, and it's producing better athletes, and it's becoming a place where colleges, not just in the West, but around the country, have to look at. Sione Himuli-Lund is a fantastic player. Just a junior this coming fall, he's got offers from Michigan and teams all over the country. And he's got four other teammates that have similar offers. So it's not just one kid. It's a lot of kids. And it's growing, and it's only going to get bigger and better. That's where it's going. And it's exciting if you're a fan of football in the state. You know, you're unfortunately going to see a lot of kids leave the state, but now you're going to have even better kids your favorite team is getting in state. If you're a BYU fan and you're getting in-state kids, you're getting high-quality players. And you're going to know that because of the way that the quality of play in the state is getting better.
Jeremiah, we continue to talk about Frank Jackson on the hardwood. You got any updates on what is happening overseas with his USA team?
We showed some highlights on SportsBeat, and I'm sure if you're a big Frank Jackson fan and you're following his recruiting, you probably read about a lot of the praise that he's receiving. He performed really well. And it wasn't just like an AAU-type deal or, you know, like a summer camp thing. This was a big deal going across the country and playing with some of the best players in the country, not just some of the best players in the state. And not just performing well, but really shining and being one of the better players in that league, in that camp. So for him to go and compete internationally like that, it shows, number one, how talented he is, and number two, just, you know, how big of a deal his recruitment's going to be. It's only blowing up, and maybe that's bad news for BYU fans. But I don't know that everyone should take it that way. But I think you get nervous if you start seeing a player that you covet like that getting this much exposure on a big stage, because it's only going to intensify the amount of recruiting around the country for his services. You know, how bad does Duke want him? How bad does Arizona want Stanford and all these teams that are competing with BYU for his services? And I'll throw Utah in there as well. Utah's definitely in the mix, as Brandon will tell you. I know he's covering it pretty extensively too, that this kid's recruitment is just going to continue to blow up. And he's an elite player. And if he did not go on a mission, he has the potential to be good enough to be like a one-and-done type player. He's not good. He's still got a senior year of high school basketball to play. If you're watching his highlights, you don't see a senior high school basketball player. You see one of those elite, you know, kids you start throwing into the draft talk when it comes to be that time when they're old enough. That's how good he is, and he's only going to get better.
Jeremiah, I've only had the opportunity to cover high school sports intensely for about 4 years, and I've gotten a good sense of the athletic quality of certain athletes. And in my opinion, no one's even close to Frank Jackson as far as just upside, but you've been able to cover the high school product a lot longer than I have. Is there any player that just comes to mind that can maybe even touch what Frank Jackson can do athletically?
No, not even close. It's not even close. I mean, you know how good Tyler Haws is. He was not a top 100 ESPN player. I start going down the list, and TJ Haws, his brother, people will be shocked when I say this, but TJ was a lot better high school basketball player than Tyler was, and Tyler was really dang good. That's how good TJ is and is going to be. TJ was the 50th ranked player in the country. So you're looking at Frank Jackson being a top 20 kid? You guys, I mean, the top 10 kids in the country are going to Kentucky and Duke. I mean, that's where he's at right now. That's the category of player he is. And Utah has never seen a player ranked this high. You got to go all the way back to Sean Bradley. And let's be honest, why was Sean Bradley ranked that high? Because he was 7'6", right? We've not seen a kid at the guard position with this type of athleticism and this kind of skill come out of the state of Utah, ever.
There's troubling news in the baseball world. Bryce Harper hates BYU. Why?
No.
Why do Mormons hate BYU,
Everyone
JJ?
Must love BYU.
JJ, why do Mormons hate BYU?
Oh, gosh. I mean, to get into this topic, I'm from Wyoming, so trust me, there's a lot of Mormons in Wyoming that hate BYU, too. I hate to break that to a lot of people down here, but yeah, it's I'll be frank, and look, you can this may be, I think this is a sensitive topic for a lot of BYU fans, but there's a certain arrogance that can exist. You know what? That's okay. I mean, look, the New York Yankees are arrogant. The Dallas Cowboys are arrogant. When certain programs or schools have a lot of success, that can come along with it, and it can rub some people wrong. And so, you know, somebody from Las Vegas like Bryce Harper, even though he's Mormon, grew up, maybe there was some reason why he doesn't care for him. I don't want to answer for Bryce, but he's obviously got his reasons. It may just be that, hey, he's a kid from Vegas, and it's maybe it's not cool in Vegas to like BYU. I don't know. But everybody has their reasons. And it's okay to be Mormon and not be a BYU fan. And I know some BYU fans that aren't Mormon or don't live the faith. So, you know what? That's okay. I mean, I think BYU could actually use some more fans like that. But that's a story for another day. But I think it goes back to the old Sports Illustrated issue about BYU being the most hated team in the country, right? Notre Dame gets the same kind of stuff. When you have a lot of success, there's a target on your back, and so, you know, sometimes that happens. So I think it's just a product of that. But you know, if you are a BYU fan, I guess you can kind of enjoy that and take solace in it. But hey, you know, I for those reasons I stated, and just like the old Sports Illustrated article, hey, sometimes it's good to be hated. It means you must be doing something right.
Jeremiah Jensen from KSL on with here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. What other things are you working on right now? What can we expect on the news tonight?
Well, I don't know if this excites a lot of BYU fans, but we're working on the NBA draft coming up, so that's a big focus of what we're doing. As far as BYU goes, there is some BYU stuff going on. There's some BYU track athletes having success at Nationals, and I recently did a feature on Shaq Walker, and last night we showed him doing well in the 800 meters, so he has a chance to compete for a national championship in the 800 meters. So if you're a BYU fan, you can tune into ESPNU on Friday night and see how he does. But that's one thing we're following right now as well as that. And then we're getting ready for the NBA draft, which is coming up quick. And, we've been given some updates on Tyler Haws. He's been going around the country. Just had a workout in Memphis with DeLon Wright, which was interesting. And I don't know if you saw their Twitter interaction, which is pretty cool. But so we're following the NBA draft, and obviously that has some impact on a couple local guys and Utah Jazz as well. So that's what's taking up a lot of our energy right now.
Talk to me about Tyler Haws. Where do you see him ending up? Will he end up in the NBA as an undrafted free agent?
I think he's going to get a camp invite. It will really depend on the fit and, you know, what kind of team brings him in, what kind of style of play they have, what they're looking for out of somebody in his position. It really is a lot of times about fit. And I've talked to NBA scouts, GMs, and they talk about Tyler. What's keeping Tyler from being a draft pick? Well, he doesn't have he's 6'4", but he doesn't have great length for that position. He doesn't have the elite athleticism that you see a lot of other guys have at that 2 or 3 position in the NBA. But there's a skill he has, and he has an NBA skill, and that's a really good shoot. And so if he can shoot the way he did in college as he can in the NBA, and he finds the right fit, and he continues to work on improving his defense and really works hard on improving some of his lateral quickness and agility and improving his athleticism as much as he can. And I know he's going to try. No one works harder than Tyler. He can find the right fit, and he can find a chance. You know what? But if he doesn't, he can go to Europe, and he can have a fantastic career. Look what J.C. Carroll is doing right now in Europe, winning titles and making millions with Barcelona. Real Madrid. So there's no shame in going to Europe if that's what ends up happening for Tyler. You even see Brandon Davies make that switch recently this season, leaving the NBA to go find the sure thing in Europe and get some and make some cash and have success. So either way, Tyler's going to play professional basketball, and he's going to have a lot of success, and I expect him to do that, whether it's in the NBA or in Europe.
Jeremiah, I'm going to come out of left field with this one. I was just thinking about, you know, the top five list that we were talking about, and I don't know if anyone's ever rated the assistant coaches ever to come through BYU, but who's your number one, like, assistant coach ever
Whoa.
To come through? Look at that. I mean, right?
Wow.
Is that left field or what? Number
All
one
time?
assistant coach at BYU of all time?
Mike Holmgren. How about Mike Holmgren? I think that's kind of, you know, I don't think any assistant at BYU has gone on to have as much success.
I know, but I'm saying while at BYU, assistant coach, because we're talking production.
While at BYU.
Production at BYU.
Norm Chow. I got to go with Norm as far as longevity and the type of offenses and the success that they had. You look at the 96 team and the guys that they were able to bring in, and you look at all the quarterbacks that he had an impact on, including Ty Detmer. Norm Chow, easy, as far as that goes. I mean, if you obviously prestige and what he accomplished throughout his career, it's Mike Holmgren. But obviously Mike was just a quarterbacks coach for a short period of time. Norm Chow had a huge impact on BYU football's history.
See, I might go out on a limb and say Doug Scovel.
That's a pretty good one, too. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. If you want to really go back to the late 70s, early 80s, Jim McMahon and Mark Wilson, that whole group of guys, absolutely. Steve Young, even. So, yeah, he had a huge impact on that those glory years of BYU football.
Let's go back to high school recruiting. You cover both football and basketball. Which is producing more collegiate talent or better collegiate talent, the football field or the hardwood?
Oh, it's football by far. Yeah. But you're slowly seeing basketball catch up. I was doing a little research as I was, you know, this top 100 stuff came out, and there's four guys from the state of Utah in high school basketball that made the ESPN top 100. The most before that was two, and that was two of the players from Lone Peaks National Championship team. So this is a new thing for Utah high school basketball to have this much talent. It doesn't quite have the depth of talent that the football has. I mean, you're looking at football, and obviously there's more opportunities in football because there's more players on teams. But, to have 35 or 40 players with Division I scholarships every year as opposed to 8 or 10 in basketball, you can see there's a clear difference, although I will acknowledge the fact that there's just not as many opportunities in basketball. But still, the amount of talent coming out of the state, the elite talent, right now you're seeing a player that played high school football in the state of Utah getting drafted every year. It's happened for a decade. So that's pretty impressive that there's that much high school talent in the state of Utah that every year someone's being drafted. That's obviously not the case in the NBA. So that kind of answers your question, but I think basketball is definitely making a move. And you're getting to the point where four of the best 100 players in the country are from Utah. That says a lot about the progress that's being made in high school basketball in the state of Utah. Now, if they just get a shot clock, then we'd be onto something.
Right now, you're comparing BYU football to BYU basketball. Who's on more of an upward trend, and who will have more success in the next 5 years, in your opinion?
Ooh, boy, that's tough. Because I know there's a lot of frustration and a lot of concern about BYU football maybe not trending in the right direction, but I think they're definitely on the right track. But I've got to go basketball for this reason. I just think they've recruited really well in the last few years, and it's taken some time because kids serve missions. But the Lone Peak group is going to be back. If they were able to land Frank Jackson, that's another huge coup. But then you see guys like, you know, Baxter and some other kids they've gotten in the pipeline. And, I think the kid from Bountiful, Zach Sellius, is a tremendous player. I think BYU basketball is going to make some noise in the next 5 years. I think I'm talking like, I don't want to raise the expectation level too high because BYU just hasn't been there before, but they should make multiple Sweet 16s in the next few years and possibly can make a run at a Final Four. That's the kind of talent they're going to have in there. And if it all comes together for them and, things pan out the way I think they will, I think you're going to have that kind of success in basketball. I can't say that BYU football has, like, a special season on the horizon based on what we've seen. With the schedule that they have to play and some of the challenges that they've had in recruiting, I don't know that they are in a position to have those kind of runs like basketball is. So to answer your question, I've got to go basketball. But I'm not so down on BYU football as a lot of people are. I think there's some positive things going on, and I think there's some things that are going to start trending in the right direction, especially some of these return missionaries that they've had, that they've been able to recruit the last two or three years, start coming back into the program.
JJ Fad, Jeremiah Jensen, great stuff as always. Sorry for the random thoughts. I start to think as you're upon these questions, they come out of left field, but you did phenomenally.
Well, Ben, I come to expect that with you. So I prepare for the unexpected, if I could do that. But you probably get better stuff out of me because I don't know. Like, you totally got me on the top five stuff. I mean, I would have came in with this list and I would have broke down all the stats. So that would have been the fun, right? You caught me off guard. I love it.
Great answers, great insight, great information. We appreciate all that you do, and I know the Cougar fans felt enlightened. Thanks, Jeremiah.
Hey, anytime. Appreciate it, guys.